I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, everybody, for coming tonight. We've got, kind of in the series of our budget presentations and discussions, we've got our next budget presentation tonight, which is making progress for academic success.
Okay, thank you to not only all the administrators, but wow, I see several teachers out there. Thank you so much for coming. We're going to pretty much follow what we did last year. So we're going to start with Mr. Caswell at the high school. We'll then go to Ms. Reggio Bates at the middle school and to Ms. Hardwick and Ms. Green at the elementary. So, Mr. Caswell, the floor is yours.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome, board. Welcome, public. We're going to conduct our annual, basically, five-year plan for academic success. So let's get into it. The first type of courses that we will be discussing tonight, I call them concurrent college courses. Just a quick review for the audience. A concurrent college course is not an advanced placement course. It is run as if I was attending a school somewhere else, a college like Suffolk Community College or Farmingdale or Stony Brook or Syracuse or wherever, taught by our instructors. Grades are your standard A, B, C, D, and exams be a midterm, final exam, etc., and you get a grade in the course. And the attraction for concurrent college courses in high school is, of course, the experience and also the possibility of obtaining college credit. Center Bridges has a very strong relationship with Suffolk County Community College. They call it the Excelsior program. And as I'll go through the presentation for this, you will see, without a doubt, we are really, really increasing our course offerings, providing our students with a tremendous amount of opportunity as they embark on their college careers. So in the left-hand column under current offerings, so you can look in our course offerings catalog, and you will see a litany of offerings, many of which were added in the last couple of years. And throughout this entire presentation, at any level, you're really going to notice a theme that without staff buy-in and without collaboration and without support, none of these would happen. Because when you take a top-down approach and you say, hey, you know, let's do virtual enterprises, well, we need someone to teach that, and we need to support that individual, and they have to do a lot of legwork and background work. So it takes a real team effort to make this happen. So in the left-hand column, the only stars that are there that we were actually able to implement this school year. And I want to point out for the audience that virtual enterprises is actually the one concurrent offering that is not done through Suffolk Community College. It's actually done through Farmingdale University. So, and that's new for this year, which we talked about last year. Marine science we were able to add this school year. And we actually started first aid CPR in the second semester of this school year. If you go to the next column, the applied, in order to teach in concurrent offerings through a college, they often have very rigorous standards for their instructors, which ironically is actually more than advanced placement, and you'll see why I'm talking about that in a second. So the teacher has to actually apply to various institutions and get approved to teach. So that's why I use the word applied, because sometimes, for whatever reason, maybe the teachers don't have credentials or needs to take certain courses, or maybe we need to adapt our program here to meet the needs and requirements of the college. So oftentimes we apply, keep our fingers crossed, and maybe we get rejected or approved, you know, whatever the case may be. So for this school year, we have applied to three programs, hopefully to implement next school year, the 17-18 school year, and that would be Astronomy and Culinary Arts 1, because we would like to try to eke out some more offerings in our Family Consumer Science offerings, you know, in the Culinary Arts. And why there's a star there, the first aid CPR, we actually applied this school year, never really thinking we'd be teaching it this school year. But since it's a semester-based course, we got approval in January, so we're able to offer it this school year. So, again, kind of early. Moving forward to next school year, we're still looking at trying to figure out if we can add anatomy and physiology to the concurrent offerings list. We actually do offer that. It's an elective offering. It's just not tagged and paired with the concurrent piece. And again, why there's various things to consider, like Subic wants a lab offering attached to it, and we have some scheduling issues, and the teacher's not sure how to do it. So there's some growing pains with that. Same goes with music theory. We're trying to, build a base of support and of interest in the student body. So we're trying to figure out how we can do that. So that's what I mean by pursuits.
So is it like anatomy and physiology? Would that be, you're pursuing that? How do I read this? You're pursuing that in hopes of being able to do it for 17-18?
No. We are going to, again, figure out if we're going to offer it for the following school year.
Following, so that would be a pursuit that you're, an action you're going to take next year in hopes to do the, so the budget, for budget purposes, if there were a cost, it would be not in 17-18, but in 18-19?
Correct.
Okay. And then is that like a, anatomy and physiology, for example, is that a one, is it an everyday class for a full year?
Yep.
Okay, so it's a full year elective.
Correct.
And that's like a add-on to bio, like follow-up bio?
Absolutely, correct. So now, really, if you see all the, see all the offerings we have, when you really boil it down, we only have three departments that don't have a concurrent offering at present. That would be art, English, and physical education. So that will be, again, future considerations to find out what can be offered and who could teach it and what interest would match our student body.
Can I ask a question? So as, as you've done this and you're looking to add things, which is great. I mean, I'm looking at my notes from last year, and I love that it kind of tracks along with what you said you were going to look at to do. Did we look at all at the electives that we've got and determine if they're full utilization or perhaps there's some while we thought they were interesting at one time are just underutilized? And
well, like for instance, in the business department, we have more offerings than we have courses. So every year we're going to look at enrollment requests from our student body. So some years we might run a sports marketing class. Next year we might not.
That's because
that's exactly what we do. Some departments have that type of option where we're going to kind of pick and choose the highest enroll.
And how do you do that? Based on student interest?
Straight numbers.
Yeah.
Straight numbers.
Okay.
Right. All right, so that's basically where we're going with the concurrent offerings, and we're excited to continue to add net. And bottom line is we're providing opportunities for our students. So now, shifting to advanced placement, much different than concurrent offerings because this is not done through a college per se. This is done through the College Board, which is a national program. And it is not based on necessarily a course grade. It is based on an exam, which is a national exam. The first 2 weeks of May, they are given throughout the nation, same exact test, and a very specific curriculum. Unlike the college concurrent offerings, anyone can teach an AP course if they're certified in that area. It would behoove a school to match expertise and passions, from a teacher to a course. But if someone's certified in social studies, I can have them do any AP under the banner of social studies, which is interesting because advanced placement is a much more rigorous program, without a doubt. And again, one doesn't take advanced placement to necessarily earn college credit. You have to be able to match your exam number that you get in May with the institution that you're going to be attending. So oftentimes, institutions love the fact you're taking advanced placement courses for a resume or for a transcript. But they don't accept any credit, any score, because they want you to buy their credits. That's the bottom line. All right. So that being said, we are continuing to push and cajole and figure out how we can add more offerings. So we were able to add human geography and comparative government to the list for this year. In fact, one of our instructors, Dr. Flynn Trace, who we'll be hearing from a little bit, is actually taking the charge with human geography. And she has two full sections that we'll be giving our first exam in, a couple weeks, right? A couple weeks up. That should be exciting. Adding to next school year, we're very, very excited to have computer science and physics being offered and hot off the press. Nothing official yet, but we have over 30 students for both courses that have registered. And we're going to make sure we try to figure out a way to get every one of them in there if we can.
So computer science, pretty specific. Who's teaching that? Do we?
Absolutely. It's some of our new staff members. One of our new technology teachers is teaching it.
That's great.
Leading the charge. Like I said earlier, it's all about the individual and giving them support and having the passion and interest and expertise to do it. So, computer science and physics absolutely offered next school year. That's going to be a great addition. The last slide, as you can see, it's a little bit different now because last year, the year before, we had some ideas and, maybe a possible direction, but we're going to kind of go in a different direction with this because if you remember in the May, in the fall NYP presentation, the high school was starting to look at IB as a possibility, and one of the things that I mentioned was, depending on what we end up offering, AP is going to change. Maybe we don't offer as many APs because they'd be replaced with IB, but much more to be discussed and figured out. But we're going to put a hold on future AP for now, and we're going to go delve into the world of IB. So this is really more of a follow-up from our MYP team presentation in the fall with Mrs. Bates. And I want to kind of go through again for everyone the background from the high school perspective, where we've been, what we're doing, and where we're going. So last year during this presentation, we talked about, actually 2 years ago, forming an exploratory committee. So we got some teachers that volunteered, just kind of interested in what IB is. So we had some faculty meetings. We had some committee meetings, just kind of educate ourselves a little bit about the world of IB, kind of break the ice. This year, we have done a lot. In terms of site visitations, we've taken different teams of teachers to Dobbs Ferry, which is upstate New York, Long Beach in Nassau County. We'll be going to Northport in about a week and a half, and we hope to get in one or maybe two additional schools before the year is out. And when we take a visit, we're taking probably between 5 and 8 individuals. Ms. Ngoli and myself, we go as administrators. We have various teachers that are all volunteered. They're all interested, and they all want to be exposed and learn about this whole world of IB. And every time we have a visitation, we have a feedback, collaborative, follow-up. And, we share all the good, bad, and observations that the teachers experienced during the visitation. Also, out of these visitations have come a lot of interest, by the people that have, seen this firsthand. So, wow, I want to learn more. So, a couple weeks ago, I went to Category 1 administrator training. I don't want to bore anybody with all the administrative, craziness that we had to learn about. But I learned a little bit more about the world of IB from administrative lenses. Dr. Flynn Trace and Mr. Rich Roberts, both in the associate department, signed up to go to TOK training. Poor Mr. Roberts has to get a shout-out because he tried to change all these travel plans during that snowstorm. He had playoff games and basketball. He has way too many hats. And his flight ended up being canceled, so he didn't go. So we'll send him somewhere as soon as we can. But we do have the sole survivor of the department who actually made it on the plane through the snow and ice and all those good things. And Dr. Plintrace went to Houston with me, and she took a course called The Theory of Knowledge 1, which was the first half of a 2-part course, learning about, one of the tenets of IB through the TOK lens. So I'm going to turn it over to Dr. Plintrace, because what better way to hear about her enthusiasm and what she learned about but through her experiences. So Dr. Plintrace, the floor is all yours.
Thank you. Well, I attended the visit to Dobbs Ferry IB High School and the visit to Long Beach IB High School. And I was totally impressed with one course in particular, the whole program in general. But the course I was most interested in was what they call Theory of Knowledge. And where I was impressed in the classroom was with the level of questioning by the students, the student-centered environment, the types of activities that the students were engaging in. And then I had the opportunity to come to the board meeting where the middle school teachers were presenting the MYP program. And it gave me the opportunity to really see and to start making the connections between what it is that they're doing in their classroom and then what we may have the opportunity to do at the high school. So I'm providing this slide because it really sums up what this entire program is all about. And in the very center of this circle is the Theory of Knowledge class. And it's there because the idea behind it is that it is the connector to every single thing that the students will do as part of the diploma program or the 11 and 12 program before they graduate high school. it consists of a number of different facets, ending ultimately in their earning a diploma. Now, what's different about this diploma program is that it offers students an opportunity to really examine coursework in depth. So although it also provides a scope of information, the depth that it goes into is very, very different than very often we have the opportunity to engage in. And that's because in the theory of knowledge class, it allows students to understand how it is that they need to ask questions. So if I could give you an example, in my class the other day in human geography, I gave the students information. I said, Shanghai is the fastest growing city in the world. And a bunch of them jumped right on it, and they said, yeah, and they went right to talking about population. But I said, let's ask some more questions about it. And as they asked more questions, they said, well, wait a minute. So based on what information is this statement being made that they're the fastest growing city in the world? Maybe they're not economically. Maybe they're not as far as population. And that's exactly what we want students to be able to do. And then to take the information that they learn in their natural sciences and to learn in their art classes and to learn in math and to put these pieces together by asking questions themselves about how these things are connected. So although theory of knowledge is course, it's not a content-driven course. It's an inquiry-based course. But the key to the whole thing that really grabbed me when I saw students doing it is after they start to work on asking these questions and making connections, what it allows them to do is to reflect back on what they've already done. Was I successful? Did I research everything that I should have? Should I have brought something into this differently from a math class, or I heard something in a piece of literature or in my art class? And now they're the ones who are assessing whether or not what they did was successful. And that in and of itself is the kind of student that we're trying to create and develop and allow them to leave our high school and have success at the secondary level.
So is the curriculum that they work through in theory of knowledge class tied directly into each of the substantive classes? So those questions are coming from their math or their science classes?
Not really. Think of it more as a philosophy class. So it teaches kids how to ask questions. They make the connections with their classes. So they could be at any level in any of their science classes or any math class. And their questions will become deeper and they'll examine further with the higher level courses that they're taking. But they're the ones who learn how to ask questions, who learn how it is that they need to get good evidence-based information to draw conclusions. And then to look at the conclusions they've drawn and to say, you know what, that really didn't work. Or that was terrific. Maybe I should have done something else with it. Or not.
So you've taught social studies here for a number of years. The student that takes this versus the student that takes our current curriculum, you're feeling that the student that takes this walks away with a better understanding of each of different world events because they've thought deeper, they've thought about that culture, they've thought about what drives that culture. Is that really, rather than just Shanghai growing?
Absolutely. And actually, I even brought a student made a comment, and she said, the difference is between getting college credit and college prep. The culminating activity for the diploma program ultimately is to write a 14-page research paper on the topic of their choosing with a mentor. Any kid who leaves high school having written a 14-page paper that is sent to IB for grading is not going to have that obstacle in front of them when they get to school. They're going to understand how to do research and how to do good quality research. They're going to understand the process of citing their research, writing a bibliography, organizing not just the paper, organizing their time to create something like that. So I feel like it really gives them a leg up. Also, with regard to the theory of knowledge, as preparation for this large extended essay, the students are required to write a paper. However, with that paper, the topics are chosen by the IB. So there's something like 7 or 8 different topics that are provided to the students that they can examine. They write a smaller paper that would model the extended essay that they'll eventually write. It's about 1,300 words. And then they also do something similar to our CSIP program. They call it CAS, Creativity, Activity, and Service. And what it engages students in is, first, the examination of what it is in our community, and whether it's our micro-community, the world community, a place far away, somewhere nearby, and to find what the need is there, and then find the best way to help fill the gaps with regard to that need. And then they present what it is that they did. In addition to the writing and the research and the inquiry and the questioning, presentation is a big part of this as well. Students have to be able to speak to their peers. They have to be able to be videotaped. They have to be able to back up whatever it is that their topic is with about a 10-minute presentation, which is something that students are very fearful of. But this environment creates a sense for students of safety, and it's okay to ask questions, and it's okay to be wrong, and that fear seems to go, and it's exactly what I saw at these other schools. So really, students are putting together all of the skills that they need to write with their own experiences with regard to service, and then the research, all with regard to college prep. And as Mr. Caswell mentioned before, with regard to the AP, again, our students are taking these classes, and they look wonderful on resumes, and they're getting into schools because they've taken these AP classes. But for most students, they're not getting the credit for it. Just by taking the IB and getting the diploma through it, I was talking to students who are getting 44 college credits at Florida universities, Virginia universities, Colorado universities, entire state systems.
It's more widely accepted.
Oh, and highly regarded as well. So these students are they're leaving high school and they're going into college as second semester sophomores. And what we are seeing with these students is that they're also doing their graduate work. So now they're doing their graduate work in the time that they would have done their undergrad for the price of their undergrad. So the benefits really here, I think, are just tremendous, and there's kind of a ripple effect from it.
And just correct me if I'm wrong, Ed. So when you look at this and you look at this theory of knowledge class, that's in the IB diploma program. So I'm an individual. I want to take an HL or an SL course in IB dance. Doesn't mean I have to take the entire program. Sure. It's an all-inclusive program, IB for all.
Right? That's
because
right.
This is great. Don't get me wrong, and I love the theory of knowledge, and I've seen it taught this particular course, but you're going for the IB diploma. Because when you talk about these essays and some of this extended work, you go, wow, it can take you back. But I can take many of the IB courses as individual standalone courses, like I do with AP.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
Absolutely.
Dr. Blintrace, I'm going to push on the spot a little bit. I think at a minimum, you've probably throughout your career been to, let's say, bargain and say, at least 20 substantive conferences that, you know, you've had a sub and you've gone, you know, to a day one or maybe a 2-day one or whatever. So of all of them, and this isn't being, I'm not being contrived here, all of these 20, 30 conferences, talk to me about the one you just attended at Rice University.
He knows the answer because I said it every single night at dinner. And Teresa knows the answer because it was the first line in the email I sent her the minute we got back. This is by far the best professional development I have had in 28 years. Best. I mean, I can't begin to compare anything to it. The only thing that kept coming into my mind as I was looking at some of this is I compared it to the doctoral work that I did, the writing of the dissertation. There were real pieces to that. That's the only comparison I could make to it, but nothing as far as any PDO had.
And I really want to make that an issue because go back in time to the fall presentation last time we talked about IB. It was really the NYP presentation. We just tagged along. But, you know, members listening, Mr. Bolger, you know, how excited they were, talking about the lessons. I guess we're going to hear a little bit more of that, you know, from the middle school perspective. Well, Dr. Blintrace, you know, she has now experienced it. As we continue to move forward, it's important to understand that it can't be a top-down. You know, like I said earlier, like, hey, I want you to teach sociology. Well, if that's not your passion and you don't understand why am I doing it, then you'll do it because, you know, you'll be compliant, check the box, and we're good. But when you buy in, that's the best combination. And we got kids to buy in. Now it's a home run.
Oh, yeah. And you know? You really do have to buy into this because it's different than anything we've ever done before. It's a different way of creating a classroom environment. It's a different way of interacting with students. It's a different way of thinking about the end goal. So you really have to buy into it. But I was in a class with about 25, 27 colleagues from 7 different states teaching about 6 or 7 different content areas. And the conversation was just dynamic and exciting and similar to a certain extent. We're all sharing the same experience, so it was really a nice opportunity for us to see how someone else is doing it that tried it a year or two, or someone who's a seasoned veteran in this, because it's really a completely different way of thinking about education.
So it kind of really sets up now the what's going to happen at the end of this school year moving forward. So let's perfect bridge for that. So whether we have 1 or 2 more visitations, the bottom line is that most of the high school staff will have at least had personal visitation, which I think is far beyond what I ever imagined when we first started this journey. Remember, we only started with a handful of people that originally, back in 2014 in June, said, oh, I'll learn about IB. And now every trip I'm taking, 7, 8, 9, teachers, and I have a waiting list now. Why come I can't go? Right? So in June, we really plan on some way really having like a final debrief. Like, okay, most of us have kind of now been learning about this. Where are we going? All right? And really from that series of meetings, I don't think it's going to be one meeting, I think it'll be a series of meetings, really we're going to have the blueprint of where we're going, all right? So now I'm going to talk about the last column on the right. And the key word here is tentative, all right? Very, very important, because one of 2 things is going to happen. Either we're going to do it, or we're not going to do it. There's no in-between, all right? And that will be based on where the staff is going. All right. Don't read into that anyway. That's just the way it is. So if we move forward, tentative is what we're going to be doing next year at least. We're going to appoint a diploma program coordinator. All right. We will begin pre-application through IB. That will be initiated in the fall of 2017. We will then be submitting an application in the spring of 2018. And then, the whole canvassing authorization phase could be 2 years, could be 3 years, depending. And again, tentative, I want to stress that, there could be a real possibility of students at the high school enrolled in an IB program in the fall of 2020. Could happen.
So when's the decision date? I get the tentative, I understand, but when does that tentative become yay or nay?
It's going to be probably over the summer.
So by September, the decision will have been made.
Yep. At least, yeah. Yep. So a lot of work left to do, but I want to remind everyone, my very first thought, whether it was Excelsior or AP or IB, whatever the case may be, it's a really, really powerful experience when there's buy-in and excitement from the teachers. And that's going to be absolutely translated to the students that are going to be very excited. And I know that because they want to go to college. They want to be successful. And we all hear about college and career. Well, everything we're talking about, whether it's concurrent, AP, IB, whatever it is, the bottom line is absolutely we've embraced the preparation for college and career readiness. Absolutely. Those aren't just words, those are actions. Right? So a lot of exciting things are really moving forward in the high school level. And
wait, Mr. Caswell, can we just, so you're saying by fall, because the MYP is there to be fully implemented, it's a little bit different because there's no actual diploma, but you're saying by the fall of 2020, we could have enough courses to actually have children enrolled that they could
enroll. Well, it's not a question of having courses. We're going to have a program if we move in that direction, which would be implemented.
How does it work? You start and implement in ninth grade, so you've got that, or is it across the board?
The diploma program is 11th and 12th. And 9th and 10th grade have to be involved as well. Technically, they still could be under the umbrella of the MYP banner.
So you would be able to have, I'm just trying to tie this out, an 11th grade student in 2020, so someone that would be class of 2021, would be able to be in the formal program?
Yeah.
22. Okay.
All right, now, again, really shifting gears, but still, you know, part of the presentation we've done several years is, I know, you know, the board was very interested in supporting developing clubs for academic success and social betterment and all those good things. So you can see, I mean, the left-hand column is just, you know, tons of clubs, great opportunities for our kids, a multitude of different types of activities, and, you know, the more they're involved outside the classroom, the more successful they're going to be. And just for this year, you know, because of the board's support, we're able to add debate and youth and government. In fact, I know youth and government is actually leaving this weekend for to present their bills in Albany, which is, you know, just so darn exciting, and, you know, it's going to be great. So great things are happening. So, again, following the thought of student interest and also staff interest, we're going to propose to the board, although it's already been proposed through the budget process, that we're going to add a book club through the English department and another science-based club. It might sound a little corny, but it's actually a STEM-based, maybe a STEM-soft type of way of looking at it. You know, kids that are serious about science, and, you know, maybe they're not the STEM kids, but maybe they will be the STEM kids. You know, that type of idea. And we're still going to be looking at other clubs as we move forward. In fact, I just got one today from a teacher. And I'm not making this up. Individual said, oh, we need a video club, like, you know, camera work and things. I'm like, ah, great, we'll add to the list. Not tonight, though, but it's kind of worldly communicating that. But we have, you know, whether it's math leagues or science pool or gaming. I mean, if we tie that in somehow. You know, it's funny, when Mr. Thoth said we need a gaming club, I kind of, you know, rolled my eyes because everyone knows my aversion to technology. But I was watching the news shockingly tonight, and there was a little clip about there's some airborne rangers that were assigned these specific drones that are flying missions, overseas, and the average age is 22 because they're all gamers. And the guy goes, one guy that interviewed, one of the soldiers said, well, you wouldn't go out and buy this one because the graphics aren't that great, and it's kind of slow, and the joystick, whatever you call it, is, you know, not that great. You know me, right? But all kidding aside, you never know where that can go. You know, so, and I know the board has actually embraced opportunities that will lead to great academic and social success. So, those are a few things we're doing in high school. So I'm going to turn it over to Mrs. Bates.
Athletics.
What? Oh, Mrs. Thoth. Yes. Okay. Great.
Yes. Just as the bridge from the high school program to the middle school, I think everybody's well aware by this point. Athletics, in my opinion, and I think in the district's opinion, is really an extension of the classroom. It's an opportunity for the kids to be involved in something they're passionate about, such as the clubs that we offer as well, and any other extracurricular activities. So just quickly, you'll see it's very simple. Our current varsity teams, our current JV teams, and our current middle school teams, the asterisks are the ones that are new. I want to point out to the board, if you don't recall, our middle school wrestling program didn't fly this year just because of numbers, so we're going to be working on getting that interest back up through the youth program and so forth, but that's something just to keep an eye on moving forward. For next year...
So I understand how I'm looking at this, yep. Adding the budget for next
currently
year?
It is in the budget currently because we anticipate having that team again. It just was... the 1 year where the numbers just didn't kind of work for us, although we tried. And next year, again, based on interest this current year, we've asked to add middle school boys volleyball, a second team. Currently, we've had two girls team at the middle school level and only one boys team for at least since I've been here. And the numbers have been high, and we just want to keep that interest. We want to keep building the program if we can.
How do you do gym space for that?
It doesn't impact gym space because in the middle school winter season, we share the when girls basketball basketball is going on, boys volleyball is going on. They do a late practice, early practice situation, and then the second half of the season it switches, and so it's they share a gym. It's there's no other impact except for a little bit of budget wise. It's perfectly fine. We carried a big team this year, but having such a big team limits opportunity to play on the court for games and so forth. So it was just a, it was a natural request for expanding. We've also had the request from Ms. Bates and students and staff at the middle school to add an actual intramural program for sixth grade students, as well as any seventh or eighth grade students that may not be playing a sport or may not be playing a sport during a season. Some very common in a lot of different schools where you just have hours where you're supervised by a teacher, coach, in a specific sport or sports where they can just get exposure and experience and have something to do after school if they're not either eligible for the sport team or not playing in that current season. So that's something that we're also including in the budget for this year.
So that's one, like, quote-unquote, intramural team that does different
sports? No, it would be intramural hours. Yeah. So it would be very fluid and very flexible where we could, you know, look at what student interest is. We can be on the same cycle as the sports season. So if it was a soccer season, we could offer soccer. We could really do whatever we need or want with it, because if kids say, you know, we want to play, broom ball, you know, which is a phys ed game, we can offer that. It's just an activity to have fitness.
You would have one coach, it's
basically a supervisor or a phys ed teacher, maybe somebody who has interest and knowledge in that particular sport or activity. Yeah. It could be fitness, it could be anything. So it's really something we could tailor towards the student's wishes and desires and, interests. So that's something that's a very small budget item, but it's well worth the investment in our opinion. So, and then considerations for the future, badminton, middle school cross country. We currently do not have a middle school cross country program, although we do have a high school program. And what tends to happen with our middle school program is those kids who have that interest in running, they try to classify up, and some of them are successful doing that. So they're playing at the high school level, and I'm really, a very big supporter of keeping kids age appropriate where they can when we can, except for those really high elite athletes in certain sports. So that's something we'd like to explore. Middle school boys tennis has been a program we haven't been able to get the interest over the years since I've been here. So that is something that we took out of the budget at a point so we could add something else where there was interest. But in order to grow the program, it's always appropriate to have the middle school foundation. And then bowling has been something we've talked about, and I also added JV cheerleading. We added the varsity cheerleading when last few years, and we added the middle school cheerleading both the spring, the fall and the winter, and we have good interest, so the natural progression would be to have that bridge so that a student isn't coming from the middle school program as a ninth grader and automatically the only opportunity is a varsity when they may or may not be ready socially, emotionally, or athletically. Cheerleading is now a sport in New York State, so it's a little different than when it used to be just a club or something else. So it's, again, a natural, programmatical thing you'd like to do. So, any questions?
Thank you.
All right, space.
All right, good evening, everyone. Good evening, Board of Education. As members of the community, I'm honored to be here tonight to talk about all the exciting things happening at the middle school. I'm going to start by just taking a look back and refreshing your memory. This is a slide that you've seen before, Board, but I just want to refresh your memory about last year, 2015-16 school year. We were in the consideration phase of the International Baccalaureate Middle Years program. We have successfully completed the consideration phase. It was an extensive process, a lot of work by the faculty. I'm just going to take you through a few highlights of last year, and then we'll move on to this year and the future. We appointed an International Baccalaureate Middle Years Program Coordinator, Mrs. Horchowski, who's here tonight. That was a big piece of the consideration phase. We conducted school visits similar to that Mr. Caswell spoke about for the diploma program. We began our first collegial circle. We ran Mindset last year. And a lot of professional development, both by International Baccalaureate and ourselves in the school, via turnkey training. So if we fast forward to the next slide for this year, I am very excited to say that Santa Maria's Middle School is officially named an International Baccalaureate Candidate School. So we are in our first year of the candidacy program. the left side of your screen. I know it's a lot. I'm just going to take some time and go through this slide. I'll spend the most time in my presentation right here. The left side of your screen is our current school year, 16-17. It's candidacy phase year one. And on the right side of the screen is going to be next year and the years beyond. So starting on the left side of the screen, the first bullet, our goals for this year and the practices that we've been involved in. First is ongoing communication with our International Baccalaureate Middle Years Program consultant. And what that looks like is Mrs. Horchesky speaks with our consultant sometimes daily, weekly basis, on the phone, via email, going through where we're at, the steps that we're taking, what our next step should be, our goals for the week, that month, and helping to track our progress in the first year of candidacy. Second bullet, launching the MYP workshop held for entire staff on Tuesday, November 8th, 2016. That was our staff conference day this year. That was a six-hour full-day workshop at the middle school. The entire middle school faculty participated in that, and that was a great day that really kind of kick-started our middle years program in the candidacy phase. IB MYP professional development workshops during the professional period. These are led by Mrs. Horchesky, and this is during the teacher's professional period, so period one at the middle school. Mrs. Horchesky, as you know, was trained in category one and category two for the coordinator position in Los Angeles and in Miami, so she's very well-versed and such a teacher leader this year. It's really amazing to see the work that she's doing with the teachers during period one, and I just kind of bulleted what she's done so far. Period one, they worked on the online curriculum center. Everybody's logged in now, can access the OCC themselves, manage back, and now she's working on approaches to learning. She did a whole staff training, and now she's working currently with departments, and she has a schedule that she's following during the professional period, and they'll be meeting with her as department groups specifically on approaches to learning. Next category is the IB MYP Category 1 Professional Development to Date. These are the trainings that are done by IB, where we send teachers off to the training that Dr. Fintrace and Mr. Caswell spoke about. If you remember, there are 8 subject areas that IB identifies. We've trained at least 1, sometimes 2, sometimes 3 staff members in each of the categories that I each of the subject areas, that I bulleted there. The only 2 that we have not, design or arts, I'll talk about that for next year. According to our consultant, ahead of the game for candidacy phase year one, the fact that 6 out of our 8 subject areas have been trained is a great place to be right now. Release time provided for teacher collaboration and MYP unit development with our MYP coordinator. What that looks like is 2 to 3 periods at a time. Mrs. Horchesky has a calendar, and on a rotating basis, she meets with faculty members as a department, and together they collaborate and work on a unit plan that they're then implementing into their classrooms. Curriculum writing with the MYP coordinator, that takes place after school hours. And piloting MYP units and use set assessment rubrics. So when Mrs. Horchesky is working with the teachers during their release time and during the curriculum writing this year, one of our main goals is for everybody to implement, pilot 1 MYP unit. And I have here today Mrs. Connolly and Mr. Spicer. And before they come up, I just want to share with you, they are going to talk about a lesson that they created as a result of their IB training, either formally through IB or through Mrs. Horchesky. And these are lessons that took place just in the past week. So I just wanted to share with the Board of Education that this was these were lessons that were created with the intent of sharing with you. They didn't know that they were going to come here tonight when they did their lesson. I kind of approached them this past week and said, hey, you know, do you want to come? I did have Mr. Slipstein and Mr. Bollinger last time, and I just went up to them and said, do you want to come and share a great lesson that you did in the past week with the Board of Education, because I can kind of share, but I thought, well, how great would it be if you had a teacher that said, this is what I was teaching, this is what I did last time, and as a result of the IB training, this is how I changed my lesson, and this is what I did in my classroom. So, Mrs. Connolly, Mrs. Spicer, do you want to take them
up and share? Hello, everyone. I'm Mrs. Connolly. Thanks for having me here today. I went to the MYP training in October. We didn't have snow. We were in Miami, so that was beautiful. But I have to say the training was excellent. What they did encourage us to do was to come up with lessons that were authentic, that were real life, that were applicable to the students, something that could hit home for them. So I was trying to think what topic would be the best, and I thought, well, percent seems to be something that's really useful that we're doing in seventh grade. I came up with a project about shopping in Macy's, and it was easy for me to sell to the kids because they know me, and I shop in Macy's, and I have a big bag of coupons in my pocketbook. So I talked about it with the kids, and I knew I could sell it to them. Like I said, Raina said she was coming. She said, can I come for an observation? And I said, Raina, I've been holding this lesson. I said, you know what? I'm going to do it when you come. And I'm either going to be a hero or I'm going to go down in flames because this is not something I would generally do. I said, but I'm going to try it and see how it goes. It took quite a lot of planning as far as getting the lesson together for me. I would say more than I would usually, that it would take me. However, as soon as I started the lesson, like within 10 minutes, I was like, this is the best thing. It was great. The kids were engaged two full periods. They were talking about math without me. Like, which was totally amazing. So what I did bring is, if you can just pass these down, I brought a copy of what we did, and I also brought, attached to the back, is some student work. And the way the project went was I gave the students a list of things that I needed to buy. All the items were on sale, so they had to calculate the sale prices. But then the thing that was really tricky about it was there was three different coupons. Two of them were $20 off $50, and one of them was 20% off your purchase. So I said to the kids, you work with your groups, and I actually made little copies of, like, clothing that they could, you could see them there in the packet there, that they could actually cut out and put the prices on them. And I said, you're going to work with your groups to figure out the best way to use these coupons so that you save the most money. The only sort of hint I gave them was I said, well, if you use a $20 coupon off of $50, what percent are you saving? And 40%. I said, yeah. But if you use that same $20 coupon off of $60, what are you saving? And another kid says 33 1/3%. I'm like, okay, it went down. What if you use that same coupon on an $80 purchase and now it's only worth 25%? So if the coupon value is going down. So I said, when is that coupon worth the most? And they said, when you spend it on exactly $50. And I said, yes, that's what you need to think about. And then they just got going. And two periods they worked in. I really wanted them to come up with different amounts in each group because it was kind of a competition. But then they were all kind of cheating because they were listening and they were like, wait, they got $160. Why do we have this much? Which was good. So I let it go because I thought this is great because they really wanted to do it and they wanted to do it the right way. So they learned a lot those 2 days. I learned a lot those 2 days. It fostered a healthy sense of competition among the children. I gave them a greater opportunity to do some writing. So if you look at the last page, actually the last student, I was just laughing because one of the questions says, what lifestyle choice have you made? And she said, we made the lifestyle choice of economic conservation. Basically, we wanted to save money. I don't usually give them that much opportunity to write. Usually in math class, you say the percent savings is 22.5, period. That's how you answer a math question in seventh grade. So this was really, really great. Another one, she wrote something really funny. She said, sometimes, not always, it can be good to be frugal. I thought that was adorable. I was just like, that's the cutest thing. Also, it gave me the opportunity to, as I was walking around and going like over to the different groups, as a teacher, you always get worried, like, okay, now you let them off on their own. What if this group finishes first? What am I going to do with them now? You know, like, it's always that whole issue of is that you're not in such control of the classroom as when you're teaching a lesson. My original thought was the bonus was to do percent savings to see, like, okay, what would I have spent at the group that would have the better percent of savings would have did the best job. And I was thinking, should I do it before tax or after tax? But I'm like, if I do it after tax, you actually save more because you spend less, so you spent less tax. But I'm thinking that's too deep. They're 12. I'm like, that's too much. So as I'm going around in the groups, one boy says to me, should we do it after tax? Because I think the percent of savings would be greater because you pay less tax because the stuff was cheaper. And I said, yeah. So if he was smart enough to get that, then that could be the thing that I could use going forward next year. Add that as, oh, your group is done? Okay, here's some more questions. Now, let's see.
What if we do it after tax? Do you think the percent of savings is going to go up or down or stay the same? I would assume most people would think stay the same. And then they're going to realize that it goes down, and then they're going to question as to why. So there's a lot of opportunity for enrichment as well. So it was great. I loved it. I'm thinking to try to do it for statistics because that's the next thing that seems to fit it most easily, and go from there. But it was really good. Also, there's a grading rubric on there that I did pull from ManageBack. It was the first time I ever used it. I haven't graded this yet, so let's see how it goes.
You just got it.
I literally just got it. Like, I still there in the projects are still in my folder to grade. But I'm going to use the rubric as well and give it a try, see how it goes. And, you know, but the kids were great, and I was really impressed with them, and I actually learned a lot about them as well. So it was a really great experience. So, anyway, thanks.
If I could just comment, because I was there, so I've been in this panelist class several times over the years, and her kids are always engaged. And you mentioned the word engagement. In this particular lesson, it's the level of engagement that is different. And why is that level of engagement different? It's because of all these layers that she added to, like, teaching the concept of percents. Part of it is the rubric. The other big piece is that, you know, previously you would, like you had mentioned, you wouldn't have the writing piece. So it engages the kids on multiple levels, on more levels. And I think the other, you know, significant highlight for me was the level of interaction and the language that they're using.
I wish I videotaped them. I was so mad. I was going to pull out my phone, but I don't know, like, what the rules are about videotaping kids. So I said, oh, I don't know. Like, I didn't do it, but I'm so mad that I did it because I was actually thinking. I was like, this looks like a professional development video. Because they were so good. They were so great.
That's due to the design of the lesson and your new approach to it.
Yeah, it was just scary for me because, like I said, I didn't know what was going to go. But it was good. Thank you.
Before Mr. Spencer comes up, I just want to say the leap of faith that Ms. Connolly took just should be applauded, and I'm going to say the same for Mrs. Spicer. And I went to training with Ms. Connolly, so she was in her math training, I was in my head of schools Category 2 training, and we would come together with Mr. Chesky at meals. So, you know, you want to see that she's having a great professional top experience, so at lunch and at dinner at Tanaka, so what are you thinking? While you're talking, I was remembering sitting in the big, like, lunch provided, you know, hotel hall with you when she started talking about this idea, and it stemmed from her training. So I remember she took out her coupon pack in the training at lunch and said, I just have this idea because of my coupons, and I feel like the kids know me and they kind of buy in because it's personal to her and relevant to their life. And to remember that day, like, I thought of that while you were just presenting, and then to see it come to fruition, and now you're presenting it to the community and the board, is just, like, I got a little bit choked up listening to her because I just had that that memory. So, and that's what I mean by pilot. They're taking something that an idea that has something that they work on and trying it. Like she said, it could either go great, it could flop, and she's doing it. And also with the grading rubric, that's an IB rubric that she's going to use to grade.
So is the goal, first of all, I thought that was great. Thank you very much for coming. Is the goal, and I just want to understand, pilot MYP unit, every middle school teacher is going to pilot an MYP unit this year for one class?
Yeah, that's what we're working on. Mr. Spicer, come on up. Same thing, this is the lesson that he worked on this week.
Yes,
straight off the tennis court. Yes,
sorry.
He said, he has tennis practice, then I'll come over. I said, it doesn't
matter.
Just come on.
That's why we have a
middle school
tennis team,
because
of you.
Exactly.
I live 100 miles an hour, 100 miles away, so I would do that and come back, so I do apologize.
Does it all, Coach?
I just want to say that it's a great program that we're learning in the middle school, and it's sort of like a paradigm shift for me because I'm learning something new that I've been doing differently for many years. So learning about the program, I've learned that it's really not the teacher who is the most decisive element in the classroom, such as Chaim Genova had said. And I'm realizing that it's really a community in the classroom. And I think what the program allows us to do is to allow the students to explore the answers instead of a stimulus response from the teacher and the student. And through that, they get an answer, but they're not really understanding what that answer is.
So with the IB program, it allows for the creativity for them to have a discussion with a teacher about what the problem is, instead of, you know, A plus B equals C. And so I've been learning about the program, and I decided to try it. And again, it's the paradigm shift, so I'm trying to learn. And I came across this lesson on origami, about jumping frogs. So I took it, I read it, and I said, okay, let's give it a try. And so, what's the reason? I'm so sorry.
No, I was like, I heard, you know.
She was in the hallway, and I said, look, I said, I just want to let you know. I said, through all the training that we're doing, I decided to apply it. And they had to take these plain and simple piece of paper, and they had to do an origami of a frog. And I put it up on the board and went through step by step on what they needed to do. And what I added to it was the piece of force and motion. And I posed the question to them of how can you make that frog jump higher and longer? What things could you do to your frog to accomplish that? And it was great because the kids would come up to me with a question and say, well, how do I do that? And with the program, it allows me to come back at them with a question. So, for instance, I had one student, she's so sweet. She came up to me, she said, well, you know, what do I do? Like, tell me what to do. Tell me. You take this, you do that. That's the rote memory. That's what they're used to. So what the program allows is them to phase out of that. Which is really wonderful. So I'll pose a question back to them. I said, well, you remember the Newton's three laws of motion. For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. I said, think about that. I said, okay, so what am I supposed to do with the paper clips? I said, well, think about unbalanced forces. And if you have the frog and you want it to move, it's not going to move if you don't have unbalanced forces on it. So what would you do with a paper clip which has mass? Through that, they said, well, let's take the paper clip and put it up on the front and then see how it works. And then it didn't do very well because all of the motion was in the front instead of going upwards. So I said, hey, that doesn't work. And then what they started to do was they started to realize that if they take tape and they put a heavier mass in the middle where the spring is, they realized that the spring would go further simply because it's making it more unbalanced. And so they started to discover this. Here's just another example of one. A little bit overboard. but the nice thing about it was when she did it, it automatically flopped to the desk frontwards. And I said, well, there's your unbalanced force. I said, did you make it better or did you make it worse? I said, well, I made it worse. Okay, well, then what are you going to do? And so you're posing these questions back to them. And here's a couple of other ones where they realized the spring in the back when they made their origami frog, that was the whole emphasis of where they're getting the energy from. And that's the spring that makes that unbalanced force even more unbalanced. So in conclusion, I really have to say that I really enjoyed the lesson. I appreciate Mrs. Bates. She's really been very very energetic with doing these things in the classroom, and I've been very supported by her. Which is a pleasure, and that's what I think this program is all about. It's allowing the students to be creative. We are no longer the most decisive element in the classroom any longer, and it has nothing to do with authority. It has nothing to do with the way it should be, and the paradigm shift. It's allowing these students to now become teachers back to you, and to present problems to you instead of you presenting the problems to the child. And that's what I think is the most valuable aspect of the program. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Spicer. Thank you so much. So I just, I felt that it was important, the speaker that was thinking about the presentation, to just ask two teachers to come, because how could I properly summarize that and to hear it from them about how they took what they learned. Ms. Connolly was formerly trained by IB. Mr. Spicer has been trained just internally in the building. And to see that I'm, you know, kind of taking that leap and putting the practices in has been such a blessing for me to just go around the middle school and see these things coming to life in the classroom. My way out of the school today, I was talking to Mr. Schauer, eighth grade math teacher,
and he was talking about something that he's thinking about trying next week. They're working on angles, and he's thinking about having like grid poster paper and having the students create like a city kind of map using their knowledge of angles. So they're going to have to, and with the parameters he sets up, they're going to have a school and a hospital and create that. And we started talking about, you know, how could he extend that for the students that get it quickly and make it more enriching. And, you know, we spoke about that possibility of adding in a bonus, if you will, of students going into their own community and going into Santa Richardstown and taking a photograph and then figuring out the angles from the photograph and then creating their own town or aspect of their town. So it's just really great to see, you know, it would be easy just to teach Newton's law or the percents or angles just as we learned them, but then to give the students something tangible and really make them own their learning has been wonderful to see. So thank you, Ms. Conley, Mrs. Franklin, for coming and sharing your lesson. I really appreciate it. Okay, on to our next bullet, review and revise academic honesty and assessment procedures. That's something that we're working on at the middle school right now. So Trusky and I have been working on that. That is an IB requirement, so we're looking closely at that. Fall collegial circle, Forum to Read, Teach Like a Pirate, and a spring collegial circle. The book is to be determined. The staff is actually currently, we have a few suggested books, so we're just in the process of deciding right now which book will be in the spring. Those collegial circles take place in the morning. You kind of set up a calendar and have like reading checkpoints and then gather as a faculty and talk about the books. And those have been, that's been so fruitful. The discussions have been wonderful. And out of that collegial circle, I was sitting in the collegial circle when I was thinking about the idea of doing this as a community. So actually at the last curriculum committee, we discussed the idea of a community read. So I just thought, like, how beautiful would it be if we could recreate this collegial circle for all Santa Merges and have the board and parents and teachers, administrators and students and teachers all read a common book. You know, and how wonderful it would be to have a collegial circle, if you will, or a community read one night at the library or, you know, in a school after school where we can kind of set up a calendar of reading checkpoints as a community, come together and have guided questions. Nothing too crazy or formal, but just in your table, we'll all kind of sit at tables, mix up, and discuss like five questions together and have like a book chat or a few book chats. So it's just been a great practice at the middle school that we're looking forward to continuing in the years to come. Mission statement developed in collaboration with the site-based management team, the curriculum committee, student council. I'm just going to flip over to the next slide so you can see the mission statement. I didn't want to jam it on this slide because there's already enough. So the mission statement at the top, I'm just going to take a moment to read. Santa Merge's Middle School strives to celebrate diversity in a student-centered learning environment that is rigorous and relevant while developing inquisitive, compassionate students who appreciate and contribute to the world in which they live, one student, one classroom, one interaction at a time. So that is officially our middle school mission statement. We worked on it for quite some time, students and faculty together. And now our discussions are guided, are leaning more towards, okay, how do we take that statement and bring that to life at the middle school? So, you know, on our letterhead, on the backs of the t-shirts that they wear in Washington, D.C., you know, as a quick writing English and, you know, making that come to life for the students. So it's not just a statement on a piece of paper, but something that they know, they breathe and they believe in the school. I'm just going to go back to the previous slide. Middle school brochure developed in collaboration with site-based middle school teachers and the curriculum committee. This is something that will be distributed at open house for the Board of Education on the website, and really just this also is a requirement of IB and something that we've had a lot of fun engaging in and kind of creating it through our site-based management team. Is going to have information about IB, the teachers, clubs, things of that nature. Incorporate the learner profile into middle school character education and the classrooms. So I'm just going to go to the next slide again. The learner profile is on the bottom left. And if you remember, the learner profile is the 10 attributes that an IB learner strives to be. So these are, right now we're working on incorporating these 10 attributes into our school, both physically around the school and also into our lessons. One way, I'm going to show you two video clips in a moment. Dr. Flintry spoke about the area of reflection and how theory of knowledge really prepared the high school students to reflect. And I think as adults, we reflect, right? And we set aside the time for ourselves to reflect. And whether you reflect around the dinner table with your children and your spouse, or if you're so busy and reflect that when you're laying in bed right before you fall asleep, at some point in your day, we reflect, right? For me, it's on my drive. When I drive home from work, I reflect on the day, and I think about what worked, what went well, what would I change, what would I do differently. On my drive to work, I think about the upcoming day, I pray about the day, about the students, the meetings that I have, and that's really my time where I do the most, like, deep reflection. And I think at the middle school level, we have to, students can just go their whole day and not take that time. They're too busy engaging in the instruction, and it's our job to explicitly create opportunities for reflection and teach the students how to do that. So that's what I'm going to show you today. One teacher, Mr. Slipstein, you're going to see how he created the opportunity for student reflection. And he does that both, you can move if you want. It's going to be two short video clips. And he does that, I'm just going to set it up a little bit for you so you know what you're going to be seeing. This is at the end of his lesson. He calls it Entering the Think Tank. So the students are reflecting in clip number one on an activity that they just engaged in groups, and they're talking about which of the 10 learner profile traits they feel like their group displayed the best that day and why. So this is at the conclusion of his lesson.
We picked reflective because when we made a mistake, we decided to go for another way of doing it. And we also picked communicative because while we were going along, we kind of like secretly told the other person like to go this way, kind of with a body language.
Wow, that's fantastic. How about someone on the learner sheet? The learner sheet, I know Jackson, you shared with me during class. So either Jake, Abigail, or his mother would like to share.
Sure. So I thought it was Jake because we were trying to think, like, I tried playing goalie because last time I was a goalie, and then Abigail and Isabel, we like taught them they had to get open and they were trying to spread out and stuff.
That's fantastic, Jake. Thank you so much. Who would like to take the time on the white team?
We chose balance because everyone got the ball and everyone was communicating.
Fantastic.
We would go around and
like
we would spread out a lot.
Excellent. And we have time for one more. Someone on the board,
risk taker because you
kind of
just see the ball wherever you go for a few seconds
throughout,
and then we get communicated
and
kind of communicated
along
the way
to
see who was able to get the ball.
Wow, that's fantastic. Great job.
Okay, so in a traditional physical education setting, what would have happened was the students would have finished their activity and they would have went straight to the locker room, changed, and gone on to the next period. They had 5 minutes to change and they'd be off the mat. So I just wanted to share with you one example of the way one teacher is taking the time to provide time for reflection for his students. And, you know, it didn't take that long. It was 2 minutes where they sat down and he taught them how to reflect. He gave them a prompt. He asked them a question and gave them kind of what he was looking for. The second clip is also Mr. Slipstein's class. It's a different group of students, a different grade level. In this class, you'll see he has them going to the wall where he has the 10 learner profile traits on the wall, and you'll hear two girls talking about they have a different opinion, and they're explaining their opinion and why they think they're correct, and then you'll see how Mr. Slipstein kind of closes it out for them.
No,
and I
I just want to also, you know, again, Mr. Klitzlein didn't, I asked his permission to show these tonight because he sent them to me, not having anything to do with this presentation. He was just showing me what he was doing in his classroom, and I emailed him back and said, that's way too much if I show it to the Board of Education, includes my presentation. So again, it wasn't something that he did for your benefit to fit it in. It's truly what he's doing in his classroom. But another way that he's having the students reflect is in written form. So he has every student has a folder, and they're reflecting sometimes orally and sometimes in a written form. And I read through some of them today. I asked them to leave a few on my desk. And one of my favorites was when one of the students actually suggested, and we spoke about this because he said it's something that a student wouldn't have normally came up to him and suggested, but because he gave them a written form, she suggested, you know, it'd be great if we did this activity before European handball because the rules of this game kind of lend itself nicely into this one. So in the next international sports unit, I would suggest doing this one first. So just so great.
I just, before I came to the meeting tonight, I read through like another 80 of them from today, and they're giving the students are giving me so much insight on where to go tomorrow, where to go Friday next week. It's the feedback, how they're seeing it through their lens is giving me a really clear perspective and sharpening my vision on where to go next.
It's
fantastic. All right. I'm going to take you back. I have a few more bullet points. So that's the last clip. So we go to, I was at the Learn Profile. So the next one's the Beautification Committee. That's a new building committee. We have many building committees. Teacher-led at the middle school, and one new one this year that we started with the Beautification Committee, and the goal of that committee really, the reason it was formed is to incorporate our student-centered philosophy into the physical aspects of the middle school. So if you haven't been in the middle school since the February break, next time you're there, you can notice in the lobby, you'll see the name of the school, and that's the Santa Merges Middle School, and beautiful red letters in the lobby, and there's also a large television now, similar to that you might see in the high school lobby, that's showing streaming pictures of middle school students engaged in their activities that they're involved in. So bringing kind of the students at the center, both in the physical aspects of the building. I think today the Beautification Committee met, and they were measuring above the lockers for cork strips to put the students' school pictures up above their lockers. So just different steps to bring this student-centered aspect, you know, to the physical space of middle school. And we're continuing, of course, with community updates via Board of Education presentations, Curriculum Committee, PTA, and the local newspaper. And that's the last link here. If you didn't have a chance to see it, I'm not going to read the whole article tonight, but in the January issue of The Tide, there was a reporter at one of our last presentations. It was just a fantastic article about the middle school staff summarizing the work that's being done with the IB program, and that was in the January issue of The Tide, was about the International Baccalaureate Middle Years program. All right. On the right side, we have this 2017 to 2021. So I'm just going to take you through what candidacy and authorization looks like. So next school year is 2017-18. We would be in our second year as a candidate school at the middle school. We're going to continue to work with the IB MYP consultant. We'll have ongoing focus on collegiality, collaboration, and professional development through the use of the Category 1 professional development requirements in the two subject areas that haven't been trained yet, which is design, that incorporates technology, family consumer science, classes, and the arts. And we'll begin Category 2 and 3 professional development for the subject areas that already received Category 1 training. We will utilize staff conference days and the professional development, the professional period for professional development as we have this year. And we'll continue to provide release for teacher collaboration and MYP unit development with our MYP coordinator. Curriculum writing projects will continue. We definitely want to continue our fall and spring collegial circles. Continue implementation of MYP units and the use of assessment rubrics. And our Board of Education, Curriculum Committee, and PTA presentation updates will continue. So we'll be back updating you on our progress. 2018-19 will be more of that, plus the community project exploration and implementation. So the community projects for International Black Order, I'm not going to go into all details about it now because we're not there yet, but just in short, just to give you a quick summary, the community projects, IB requires once you're an authorized school. But we, our plan is to implement a modified version of the community project in 2018-19 in our third year of candidacy, so that once we become authorized, we're ready to go into it because we have had kind of our feet wet and had a ran a modified implementation the year prior. So that, like we spoke about with the high school, IB definitely has a shared belief at Santa Maria School District with community service. So just it's a great segue to our CSIP program. It's already a graduation requirement here. So what the community project would do would be to move that down to eighth grade. Basically, the students engage in individual or small group community projects, either for their direct Santa Maria community or their community at large on Long Island, South County, New York. So we are going to practice a modified version of that in our third year candidacy. And then 2019, October of 2019, to be specific, in the fall, we will apply for authorization. And then that would happen in spring of that school year, 2020. And then 2020-21 will be full NYP implementation.
And when you're full NYP implementation, is that when?
We're an authorized school.
We're an authorized school, but when, so this year you have a pilot where each teacher is going to teach one course. Mm-hmm. One of their lessons with the IB. Mm-hmm. What is it? At what point are you having each teacher teach their lessons in this?
So, and I don't know if you want to talk about this as far as you want me to, but in the next slide, right here, if I could just take you to, I'll answer that in our next slide. This is the IB NYP timeline. And see, the box right in the middle is the candidate phase, and that's what you're talking about, Mr. Foster. You know, part of the International Baccalaureate program at the middle school level is a framework and a philosophy. So it's not to say that you know, Ms. Connolly is never going to have teacher-led direct instruction in front of her classroom teaching percents. You know, it's not every day isn't going to be what she described today. So it's important for us to remember that. You know, and there's going to be a period of implementation over the next 3 years. So that's kind of the timeline that we're on. The red star is where Santa Maria Middle School is this school year. So we've moved quite along since we were here last. We were at the consideration phase last year, and now we're inside that candidate phase box, which is going to be the next 3 school years. So there's going to be a rollout over the next 3 years. So at the top, you saw this timeline last year, but I thought it was important to just kind of refresh your memories with it. At the top, I'll just quickly review. Consideration phase was last school year, 15-16. Request for candidacy happened April 2016. 3 year candidate phase. Request for authorization is fall 2019. And then authorization and review, a decision on IB's part is that school year, 19-20.
Can I ask?
We have MYP, and I know because we're kind of separated in middle school to high school. MYP really is goes through 10th grade because IB is 11th, 12th.
You can, right. You can run a 3 year middle years program. You can run a 5 year. We have, since we're a middle school, we're running 6, 7, 8. But yes, you can have, like Mr. Caswell spoke about, IB is an 11th, the diploma program. I shouldn't say IB. IB is all the way up to post, but the diploma program is an 11-12 program. So the 9th graders and 10th graders, I know Ms. Ngolia and Mr. Caswell have been speaking a lot about this, would be doing a middle years program. Some schools call it like a pre-diploma program, but definitely 9 and 10 is considered middle years as far as IB is concerned.
Because we have our kids going 6, 7, 8 in that philosophy, that thought, and then they don't enter the diploma program until 11 and 12. What happens in 9, 10? Are we planning for?
It is there. It is. It makes logical sense to have that bridge, and it is International Baccalaureate's expectation is that if you do have two programs in the school, that you do build that bridge. Either you literally build a bridge by at some point going 9-10. Mm-hmm. However, when you start to investigate the high school piece, the high school can't have a standalone 9-10 program.
Yeah.
So in essence, you have to explore that diploma program first, and then you can kind of go back.
For the IB program.
You know, for us, you know, because we started at the middle school, the natural progression will be to include the 9th and 10th grade staff, mm-hmm. so there really is no gap. You know, even if we have to get technical about it, we would we would do that, you know, after, say, if the diploma program went, you know, all the way to authorization. But, you know, in our internal conversations, it just makes sense, and it's the right thing to do, and is really, you know, essential. You know, if I'm a teacher, and for the rest of my career, I'm teaching Algebra 1, they are essential to the whole piece, mm-hmm. whether they're going to teach Algebra 1 forever or teach, you know, high-level math studies. So the idea behind it is that, you know, regardless of what the program spans from, you know, 6 to 10 or 6, 7, 8, 9,
internally,
you know, is that internally the bridge will be there.
Interestingly, Mr. Goley and Mr. Caswell and I have spoken about Mr. Caswell can't apply for a 9-10 MYP school because he said, how great would that be if I could do MYP 9-10 first? And you can't. You can't apply as a standalone 9-10 high school program. They actually require you to go diploma program and bring the two together. So, constraints on the program.
Your own internal philosophy.
Yes.
And then when we talk about internal philosophy, are you saying effectively the PD will be available to 9-10?
Yes. Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Next slide.
So before you leave that, is the next slide closed?
Yes.
Before you get to there, I want to say, you know, Ed said it, and you brought up Ms. Connolly, Mrs. Spicer, Ms. Slipstein, Ms. Marcesky. I mean, the excitement, I think, is great. And I think that And Dr. Flynn Trace, the excitement I think is great, and I think it's really what will make this work. So, I mean, I have to say, just listening to you all, I'm excited by it, and if that is kind of contagious throughout your faculty, I think it's great. So,
thank you.
Congratulations.
And if I just want to say, as a parent who's seen these lessons, it's changing the way we're talking at home. We had the conversation about the math lesson. We had a conversation today, dinner, about Segwall today. It's changing the way they're talking about what they're doing in school. So it really is, it's helping me understand that this is, it has value. That the way that, you know, they're thinking and they are reflecting throughout the day, and it's coming home.
That's really good. Thank you for sharing that. That's powerful. All right, so the last slide is clubs at the middle school. So on the left side, you'll see current club offerings. I just want to take a moment to just highlight the last three clubs. Those are new clubs this year. And specifically, just a quick story, Science Quiz Bowl stands out to me as just, wow, a club this year that went above and beyond my expectations when I was standing here last year. And just a quick story, about 3 years ago, I got an email from a parent, and it was a Clinton Huey parent that I didn't know, and the parent suggested this competition at Brookhaven National Lab, and she thought it would be a great idea for our students to participate in, and I thanked him and printed it out and kept it on my desk and thought about it for a while, and then choosing clubs, you know, we always have Mr. Stewart's directive and direction to us on growth and student growth, and choose clubs with growth in mind and what's going to raise our level academically speaking for the students in the classroom. And I just had this on my desk from this Clayton Huey parent. So I contacted that person about a year later, and it was Mr. Bastian. And I didn't know him at the time, but at the time he was a Clayton Huey parent. I didn't have his daughter, and I said, you know, we have this, you know, and just fast forward to this year when the club was in place. I just wanted to thank him for his involvement and support in the club. Mr. Turnout was the advisor, who did a great job. And the Science Quiz Bowl, we had so much participation that they actually ran an in-house competition first. And because only 5 students could go to actually Brookhaven National Lab. So on Saturday, they came in and ran an in-house competition with the actual buzzers that they were using at Brookhaven National Lab, and it was a great day just to see the students so excited about science, and a lot of work went into it. It was just really a club that surpassed what I originally anticipated it to hold for our students. Drama club this year, I should also say, I'm sure you all saw Susan Gold this past weekend. It was amazing at the high school, and if you may have noticed, a lot of middle school students participating in it. And thank you to Mrs. Harkin and Mrs. Glenn. They had the whole middle school. Last year, they ran up and down with the kites, if you remember, and Mary Poppins. And this year, they were actually in a whole number on stage. And it was just great to see so many students in Seussical. Just the number of students that were involved in that production was amazing. I don't know how they coordinate that all. It's just
kudos to the drama club and Ms. Harkin and Ms. Lynn, but that's something that also kind of elevated this year as far as student involvement. And robotics, I already spoke about two teams this year, which also surpassed my expectations, but we had two competition teams for the first time. So next year, with growth in mind, athletes is a club that we are looking to implement next year, similar goals for science quiz bowl, or that of science quiz bowl, and jazz course and jazz band, just to give our musicians more enriching experience at night and further musical opportunities. Mr. Thode spoke about middle school intramurals, but I just wanted to note it there. There was student interest, especially at the sixth grade level, for they can't participate in interscholastic athletics in seventh grade, but there we do have a lot of sixth graders that want to join a club after school and are looking for like a sports type activity to participate in, so intramurals would be a great piece for them. And future considerations, the community project I spoke about on an earlier slide, and a history club. That concludes my presentation for the middle school. I'm going to introduce Ms. Reading, and this is Hardwick for the elementary school.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Hi, everyone. I was going to do a brain break and have you stand up, do something goofy, silly, but we're almost at the end, so I kind of thought maybe I should have done it a while ago. But, so, you know, whenever, I just kind of want to point out that one of the most exciting things about working in this district is I think that when you talk to individuals from other districts that happen to be larger, sometimes the principals at the high school and the elementary school never see each other. Like maybe on that first day, I've already sat in a class when I was a teacher in Copeg, and then I hear somebody else say in that class, yeah, I teach in Copeg, and I'm like, you do? Like, you just don't see each other, know each other. And I have to say that working with my colleagues, like, we're just always together, and we really are aware of what's happening in the other buildings. And when there's science research is happening, and Mrs. Soto comes to the curriculum committee, like, there's excitement at the elementary level. Like, great, what can we do to build that excitement now in Clayton Huey, so that by the time they get to the high school, like, we want to help build that foundation and interest. And so I just think that that comes from the ongoing communication and camaraderie that we, I think, I feel very proud that we experienced that. So with that said, we're not implementing IB next year at Clayton Huey. However, I will say that there's so much, and Lisa just kept looking back at me, like, there's so much of what we're hearing that's very similar to what we do. And so with the Next Gen Science Standards, it's all about inquiry. When it comes to the social studies framework, the K-12 framework, it's all about inquiry. So while I will say that I'll talk a little bit about the PYP later on, but right now it's happening curriculum-wise just because our standards are changing. And so I think that that's a natural progression for us that we're really excited about. And so while it's not on the slide, I will say that, you know, in hearing all of the great things that the teachers are doing, one of the things that we did is that we created a grade level social studies framework leader, if you will, to go back and actually create a unit of inquiry for social studies. So it's so on par, exactly like kind of what's happening there. And I just hadn't even looked at it through that IB MYP lens, and yet the conversations just sound so similar to the conversations that we're having. One of the biggest things that I think we have taken on at Clayton Huey this year came out of one of our committees that we had created last year. Actually, Mr. Slipstein was the chairperson at the time, and since he has moved on to the middle school, Jen Weintraub is the chairperson. And so we have implemented a Huey's Heroes character ed program. And I think that one of the challenges has been that the committee felt very, very passionately about it not being another program that's handed to us that we have to follow, but that it be authentic. And so I have to say that working with the committee and under Linda Greening's leadership, I'm going to let her talk about it because it really is one of, I think, the most exciting things that we're doing this year.
Okay. Hello, everybody. It's been the Huey's Heroes Character Education Program, like Kim said, is the direct result and work of the Character Education Committee that began last year. And basically, last year when we started the committee, it was just that idea that we wanted to make sure that we were meeting the social and emotional needs of our students, as well as providing them with the personal skills that they needed to succeed in the 21st century. It was really important to the committee that we didn't purchase a program and that, you know, it was homegrown. So the committee has worked very hard this year at really creating and developing a program that would work for Clayton Huey. So the underlying superhero theme of the program kind of has two folds, you know, to it, but basically it was to spark the students' interest. Superheroes, kids love superheroes. But it was to also reflect the all-around educational experience that we try to provide for our students on a daily basis that not only exercises intelligence, you know, but it empowers the whole individual to make positive change in our world. And I think that was a really important part of what we were trying to do as we started to create with and envision what this program was going to look like. The Huey's Hero program centers on the idea that students will strive every day to be heroic. So it's helpful, ethical, responsible, open-minded, inquisitive, and caring. And these character traits were identified using the IB Learner Profile and also teacher recommendations. So we really tried to look at the two things as to, you know, where the students are going to be going once they go to middle school and what are those expectations going to be. And also getting some feedback and putting out surveys to the staff as to what we feel our students, you know, what are those skills and those character traits we really want our students to encompass so that they are successful as they move on through their middle school and high school career and beyond. The program is twofold in that it explicitly teaches our students expected behaviors in a wide range of social situations, as well as it provides opportunities for personal, social, and emotional development and learning. And that's done through in-depth lessons and related activities, which are each centered around the specific themes in Heroic. So basically, each month we focus on a different theme, helpful, 1 month, ethical, the next, and so forth. The lesson plans are created in collaboration with the teachers, and they're centered around real literature. So all the teachers receive a book for the month, and that's kind of the starting point of the kickoff for that character trait. The lesson plans were also created with many IB instructional practices in mind. Some of the teachers might not even have been aware of it, but that it had a part that was inquiry, had critical thinking, had reflection, had action and reflection, and was transdisciplinary. So, for example, this month the students are learning what it means to be responsible. All classes are reading the book, What If Everybody Did That? And the questions, the discussion points, the classroom activities that are created to go with the lesson provides the students with that opportunity to construct their knowledge. What does it really mean to be responsible? What does that look like? How am I going to act to be, how am I going to be a responsible person in my classroom, in my school community, in my community, globally? So that's basically how those lesson plans run. For one of the examples, an activity that was tied to the lesson for our fifth grade students was for them to attempt to answer the question that, I'm only in fifth grade, how can I have a global responsibility? And from that piece, the students were provided with nonfiction articles about habitat destruction, which was tied into their science curriculum. And from there, they had to read, reflect, and come up with a way that they could, personally, make an impact globally on habitat destruction. The program also incorporates assemblies that we have on a monthly basis, and basically the assemblies are to celebrate the students and what they're doing, as well as inspiring them, to continue and to get pumped up about the program. We have a bus behavior component also. It's called the Busting to be a Superhero Bus Competition. And the kids have gotten really excited about it. It's really helped.
Always controversial.
Yeah, and if I could just jump in, that was another lesson, because today, too often, our youngsters, if they weren't the winners, they're cheating. and that's your life lesson. And I actually had to make an announcement because I thought, you know, that we can't leave that out there. You know, oh, they won, they were cheating. And I went to the bus driver and I said, did they earn these stickers? He said, absolutely. But that there's a lot of social issues that our youngsters really need to navigate, and they're having a hard time with it. You know, the me, the entitled generation, everything's a selfie. How many likes did I get? And we have to almost deprogram that so that they could actually be excited for the kids on bus C as opposed to they cheated. You know, that's not how we want our students to feel about each other. We want them to be able to celebrate each other, even though they may not have been the one to walk away with the trophy. So, sorry,
The program also was, we developed a home connection piece to it. And all these components that we really feel like have made this program extremely strong, especially in its first year. So we're really proud of the progress that the committee has made. The committee is also working very closely with the beautification committee. The beautification committee is basically just making it come to life in our building so that it's everywhere. And we're hoping that this will help the Huey's Hero program shift, you know, from a program to just part of Clayton Huey culture. And so that's just a little bit about the Huey's Hero character education program.
And we'll be sure to share pictures once the beautification committee gets some of the murals up that they're working on. They are just spectacular. And one of them actually incorporated the work of every grade level, participated in a component of it. And so it's just so all-inclusive. And another one is, I don't know if you know the term Wordle, but it's like we are, and then it's just all of these great descriptors of who we are at Clayton Huey. And it's going to take the whole wall down by the champ doors. And so there's just so many great visuals. And once again, that came from the students who shared those words. And so everything that we are really generating from the committees are making sure that they're also incorporating the students. So that's so powerful.
Sure,
that was another great idea.
So the Mighty Milers program was something else that we started this year, and it's a free running program, and it's run by the New York Roadrunners. And it's basically just to improve aerobic fitness, you know, teach students the physical and mental health benefits of running and exercise in general. And it throughout the school year, any student can choose to participate in the program. It's run during recess, and they run or walk a set course during the recess time, and they set goals for themselves and work towards achieving those goals. And throughout the year, as they hit certain milestones, the New York Roadrunners provides incentives for them, like T-shirts and knapsacks and things like that. It's been a really nice addition to our recess time. Currently, we have approximately 220 students that are participating in the program, and just checking on the computer before we left. We had about 1,200 miles that have been logged since the program began in November. So it's pretty amazing. Mm-hmm. And the program also has some additional benefits as well. So there are certain times that the month, depending on how many miles your building runs, they'll provide sneakers for students that are in need. The month of March, however many miles we log, we earn dollars back for each mile towards books that we could add to our library. So it definitely has some great incentives, and it gives our students another opportunity, not only for physical fitness, but an option at recess time that a lot of them really enjoy.
We had done this in the past, but now tying it into this program, the incentives, you know, really seem to be getting the kids excited, and we post some of the results in the cafeteria, like who has gone the furthest distance. So, you know, for some youngsters, that might be, you know, just so great seeing their name being shared with their peers. And also, hey, if I haven't gotten involved, but that seems exciting to me, it might be a motivator. Because sometimes recess is a really difficult time for some youngsters. So it really gives them something to do that's very productive. We also added two clubs this year, and we were really excited. The beginning of the year, you know, when they talk about every cloud having a silver lining, we were hoping to run a debate club. And unfortunately, there really wasn't any interest in running the club. We couldn't get an advisor interested. However, I then get a letter from a student saying, I would really love to see a play at Clayton Huey. And with that said, drama club. And so we will have, since the years I'm here, I don't know if there has been in the past, but they're going to have a school play. It will be the fifth grade students will be featured in this school play. And so they have been the members of the drama club. So that's been really exciting. And the grade three Lego, there was so much interest in grade three. We actually had to break it into an A group and a B group. But once again, just really building that foundation so that by the time they get to compete in grade five, I really think that they're just going to have so many of those STEAM skills that we really have been excited to foster for our students. And I'll get to what we want to do with that. But I also have to say, I'm just going to jump to one of the other bullets. What we see happening in the library, and I know that anybody who knows Michelle Kennedy, now Michelle Craig, it's just so exciting how she incorporates many of the Lego story kind of components into her library. And what I think is a really powerful, special thanks to the PTA, because they actually did purchase over $2,000 worth of those kits for us this year. So we thought that was really incredible, and it helped build that program. And I just think that for the youngster who might not be able to come to the club, the fact that they get that experience during their school day and that enrichment during their school day is really important. We continue our Parents as Partners program. That has really been incredible. Every youngster who's involved in it benefits. And I have to say, every person who comes and volunteers, including our Mama L, our resident grandma, who comes in and she's so excited to be there. And she has been such a really wonderful new member of our Clayton Huey family, so that's just really special. The additional classes added to the NYO enrichment, it just continues to grow. Last year we started, it was the first year with three sessions, so this year we continued with three sessions, but we just have more offerings within those three sessions. We have Saturday offerings. We are looking to continue to grow the program. I know that there's a lot of conversation about the summer, but just things to work out with. We're going to have more work done on the building. But Michelle Kennedy wanted to be here. Michelle Craig wanted to be here to talk more about that, but unfortunately she couldn't be. But really, under her leadership, that program is just so outstanding. Ninja Warriors, very big addition, but we have the kids in theater classes and great art classes. Brenda Blumberg is always doing great things as well. The building level committees, I think, have been such a significant addition to our decision-making process. And it's really great because sometimes, you know, we'll have conversations with some colleagues and the teachers will say, well, I want to do this. And it's like, join the committee, you know, like have that conversation with the committee, because it's not what Kim said, it's not what Linda said. Like, there are thoughtful teachers coming together to make these decisions. And so the committees that we added for this year are the Student Behavior Management Committee, and they are going to be working also with the Shared Decision Making Committee and a Scheduling Committee. And I can tell you, you know, scheduling is always so difficult, and so to have teachers collaborate prior to really seems like a great answer to some of the things that we may even be struggling with during the summer when we're trying to build that schedule. So having that done in advance, before the teachers leave, and have them collaborate on that schedule is, I think, going to be really significant. Also, the TAC, the Teacher Administration Council, I think that has been a great, you know, similar to your SKIP meetings, where you have individuals come to you guys, talk about the things to celebrate, talk about the things that they may be hoping to see modified in some way. That's a very similar committee to that, where the teachers come and they work on things themselves. So that's been great. And we hope that we try to make sure that every single grade level has representation so that they could go back to their grade levels and talk about that. So that's been this year. For next year, we're excited to add
grade 2 Lego club. I know a first grader who is going to be super excited about that because he wrote a letter to me telling me I should have a Lego club for grade 2. He also said it should be for grade 1, so we'll see what we're able to do for next year. We are very excited about math AIS support. This is a really important thing that we are looking forward to implementing and making sure that there is a very specific focus for grades K-1. So I think that, you know, while we're able to offer extra help and we try to provide the support where we can, this is going to be a person there specifically to meet the needs of the youngsters who are struggling specifically in math. Our in-house professional development, focusing on the teachers' college writing units, the fourth grade has done a really great job piloting that. And so we really want to make sure that we continue to grow, that we're reaching out to the other grade levels who are also interested in the teaching writing units of study. So we will continue with that. We will have a new science lab. That is some of the construction that's going to be taking place over the summer. So with that new science lab comes a host of opportunities that we could certainly provide to our youngsters in our K-5 program. Investigating, what does that look like? Setting up schedules, discussing ways to bring in some experts. You know, perhaps it might be a community member who can come in to assist us. I know that I came here right from a Mama Science Family Workshop, K-3, from our building, and it's a parent volunteer who's assisting us. Mr. Babsian has been involved in bringing some exciting ideas. So I think that we could also tap into our great community for some ideas. And as I said before, in the enhanced enrichment opportunities during the time that the students are in the library, I just can't speak enough to that. The students are actually talking about coding. I could try to sell you a good bill of goods, but really, when it comes to coding, Michelle Kennedy is the expert, and it's really amazing. And once again, she reached out to community members as well, because I believe that Mrs. DePiri also came in and helped run an enrichment class on coding. But the kids are getting it. Even tonight, it was amazing when the first graders, you know, here's your some materials. So give me some ideas. How do you think you could turn that into a science project? And here are these three little people go over, communicate, and come back with not one, but five different great ideas that they were able to just collaborate on the spot and articulate so well. And so we want to continue to do that, where we're giving our youngsters the opportunities to do the learning themselves, helping them uncover these wonderful learning opportunities as opposed to being more teacher-centered. And so we will, next year, we've been hearing an awful lot about these wonderful things happening with MYP and IB. So next year will be the time that we will be creating an exploratory committee. And in the near future, we would like to, we heard in the conversations that we've been listening to, especially in the curriculum committee meeting, that there are some schools who went to a Category 1 training without pursuing the IB because, as Dr. Flynn Trace said, it's one of the most powerful PD she's ever experienced. And so there are some schools that experience the PD without necessarily whether or not they move forward, that it's still valuable in itself. And so Linda and I have talked about we would be really excited to go and see what is so powerful about that professional development. So that's something that we are hoping that we could work out.
Would you take teachers with that? I mean, similar to what's been done in middle school and the high school?
So it all depends on the training. So, for example, when Melissa and Teresa went, that was a very specific training as opposed to when the teachers go. So if the teachers decided, like I think there would have to be some things done before then, but if the teachers decided it was something that they were interested in, then we would absolutely work that out.
Because to kind of along the lines of what Ed said, it's that, you know,
build that enthusiasm.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
No.
And I'm sorry. So that's pretty much
it. No, I think it's great. I don't have any other questions. I don't know if anybody else. Thank you very much. I want to thank everybody for being here. I've seen a number of these presentations now, and this year's, I think, is by far the best that we've seen so far. So thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
brings us to the next section of the agenda tonight. Questions or comments on tonight's agenda? Does anybody have any questions or comments on tonight's agenda? Motion to adopt the minutes of the regular meeting of February 8, 2017. Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously. I'd like to do this in a block unless anybody has specific questions about anything. No? Okay. I have a question or two on the Treasurer's report, but so motion to adopt item 6 through 18, excluding the general discussion on the agenda tonight. Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
I just want to talk before we vote on the treasurer's report, Carol, which is item 12. So as I look at this, kind of along with what I asked last time, you know, it's hard for me to understand exactly, you know, where we are expected to be. We get percentage of budget spent, percent of budget as of spend as of the prior year. We're pretty close. Revenue earned, we've earned less than the prior year. So what are there items here that kind of stand out that I should be that we should be thinking about and talking about, or is this kind of along the lines of what you'd expect?
Yes.
So where this says we've got a variance like in state aid to the good on the revenue side of $143,000. We've received about 4.8. We're projected revenue of 11.9. That 143, what's that delta there projected versus what's in the budget? And that's just based on the increase in state aid after?
Based upon what was estimated at the time the budget was prepared versus what we anticipate to receive. It's kind of distributed.
Okay. And then on the services side, we spent $51,000 more than we've expected to. What is that?
The services side, there has been, on the building and ground side, there's been a lot of unanticipated different things that did list them this year that we haven't anticipated. Things are breaking down.
Okay. So where does that, and how do we think about that services budget line item, we're looking at spending $50,000 more than we budgeted for by the end of the year. Is that the way that we
need to think? At this point in time.
At this point in time, you expect to spend $51,000 more over the course of the year than we budgeted because we've had service issues with... Okay. That's fine. If you just let me know, I'm interested. Mm-hmm. Okay. Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yeah.
Yes. Motion carries unanimously. So, Thorey, I want to thank you very much for your donation. Very much appreciated. Next section of the agenda tonight is a general discussion on the school calendar for this year and next year.
Yep. What I want to do first, Board, is, you know, I got some...
the numbers I was looking at were what they sent home.
Okay, so one of the things, Board of Education, is you I've gotten some inquiries from the Board of Education with regards to the calendar that that the Board of Education has approved for next year. And the discussion, basically from several of you to me, was, Mrs. Stewart, could you put together a calendar that would include snow days so you would not have to pull from the April break? So the calendar that I just put in front of you for the 17-18, a proposal, basically adds a conference day onto September 1st. It makes September 5th a regular school day. It would make 11-7 an instructional day. It will make 11-22 a conference day. And therefore giving you what I believe you were looking for, to make 3-29 and 5-25 days off of school unless we needed them for snow days.
So basically, it's going to be 183 instruction
basically it still ends up at the end to be 181 instructional and two superintendents conference.
181 instructional, two superintendents conference.
Correct.
In the event of two snow days, you still have 181 instructional, two superintendents
conference. Exactly, correct.
I think it's from a planning perspective, I think it makes a lot of sense.
So if the board wants to go in that direction, then what we would need is...
does anybody have any...
Do you have any comments?
Go ahead. I think
given that with what we just happened this year, we ended up having to use two...
They're predicting
more snow.
Three
more snow.
Yeah.
This year?
Yes.
So for next year, if you want to go that direction, then I would ask...
So maybe next year, just in case there's like 10 days of snow, we start to lie.
Not even funny. Happy, fast, happy,
Resolved that Center Bridges Union Free School District calendar for 2017-2018 school year is hereby amended to add September 1, 2017 to staff conference day. Change the first day of school from September 6, 2017 to September 5, 2017. Change November 7, 2017 from staff conference day to an instructional day. Add November 22, 2017 to staff conference day. And in the event, the district has to take two snow days. School will be in session on March 29, 2018 and May 25, 2018. Motion.
Second.
All
in favor?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously. Thank you.
Okay, also, there was a discussion by the Board of Education, I believe not discussion, at this point in time. As you all know, we had two snow days. On the calendar, basically what the calendar said was that if in case there was a snow day, that we would have school on April 10th, which is a Monday. In addition, we had another snow day, and on the calendar it said if additional snow days are needed, the calendar will be revised. So with that, I gave you, at this point in time, you'd have to, again, revise the calendar, because if it's to happen that way, you would need to revise the calendar to have school on April 10th and April 11th of this year, if the board desires to go in that direction. Discussion, or how do you feel about that?
Number one concern is attendance, because it is a holiday by both the students and the staff.
Meaning what? What
meaning how many students are actually going to make the 10th and the 11th?
Because they had otherwise planned not to be here?
Because they're away. And how many teachers do we have that are already committed to vacation plans, any administration committed to vacation plans, etc. That's a concern.
Sure.
I don't want my kid coming and sitting and watching videos while it's instructional time.
Right. Understood.
If we have substitutes.
Well, yeah, no. So is your point that it's important to have the instructional time and that we make sure that it's used as instructional time? Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Okay.
Yeah, as far as administration is concerned, I mean, just so you know, from an administrative standpoint, the calendar did indicate that this would happen if we did have a snow day. Certainly, the expectation for all administration, for all faculty, is everyone to be here. And in no uncertain terms, of course, we would say, as we always say, business as usual. The instructional time is sacred, and we would expect no less than what you saw tonight in our presentations on the level of instruction that would happen on April 10th and April 11th.
So, and then seriously, I mean, Robin Pulling is going to snow.
According to
what do you do if there's more snow?
Well, what you would do now is I'm passing around to you what you would approve tonight, and the wording I think I would use is pending, no more snow to occur. If it occurs and we cancel school for another day,
so then would it be the 12th? If you had a day next week, would you go to the 12th?
It would absolutely go into the 12th, into the 13th. The only thing I would say to the board is I think you do this anyway. We should be cognizant of the fact that the 11th is a very sacred day for our Jewish population, and we would need to, of course, like we always do, if they are absent from school or if a teacher is out for religious reasons, of course, we respect that and totally support that.
All right.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Should we wait
to see what future snow, or do we have to do this today?
The reason I wouldn't wait is because if I were, and again, this is my own take on it, if I am the public now, I would want to know what the expectations are for the first 2 days at this point in time. I think the staff as well, given an entire month to prepare themselves to whatever they need to do or fix if they had plans to do something with their family, I think that the month is an important amount of time.
Do we, though, I mean, to Annette's point,
yep.
So, I mean, I agree with you not waiting so that people have, you know, more notice, although we did, you know, make clear on the 10th. To Annette's point, do we say that to the extent there is an additional snow day, we anticipate that it will be used as the 12th?
I think that will already be said on the, it already is on the, I just gave you a revised calendar, so it's just like the other one, it already says it on there, but you must come back at it as a Board of Education and you must approve.
But it doesn't say where it will be.
No, it doesn't. And again, I look at it as a given. If you want to announce that it will be the 12th, then I think it's a given that it has to be the 12th.
There's no other day. Right?
Well, yeah, yeah, Wednesday and Thursday, you wouldn't split it up.
Right.
You would go Thursday, it makes no sense, and certainly not go Friday.
My point is, the only other day is late on Memorial Day.
And you can't go
there. You can't go there, of course.
So.
And then you run at the end of the school, you can't extend because you have regents and it's
and contractual.
So contractual.
I would, at this point, like I said, you would come back and revise it on the 22nd.
Understood. Yeah.
So it's up to you if you
anybody have any
go that direction or any other direction. I know I've spoken to the board. There's a school calendar revised if you want to make that resolution.
Yeah, we revise the Center for Free School District calendar for 2016-17 school year is hereby amended by the addition of 2 instructional days on April 10, 2017, April 11, 2017, as a result of school closures due to inclement weather, snow days, on February 9 and 10, 2017. Motion. Second. All in favor?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously. Thank you. Questions or comments from the community on items not on tonight's agenda, general discussion items? Remember, we're recording, so if you state your name and okay, so the next Board of Ed meeting will be March 27th, 7:30 in the district office boardroom. Motion to adjourn to executive session for purposes of discussing. Proposed pending current litigation. Other matters of disclosure which would warrant invasion of personal privacy. Motion. Second. All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries unanimously. Thank you.
Thank you.